Bibles, we're going to read from Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. So if you would turn there, it's actually it's really an incredible part of the Word of God. Sometimes people ask, do you have a favorite part of the Bible? And I know that often changes during seasons in life. But Revelation chapter 4, Revelation chapter 5, if you would ask me now, and I know you're not asking me, but I'm telling you anyway, these would be the chapters that I would say these are my favorite chapters at the time. They're just incredible to me. These are the throne room of God, and they get a picture into what heaven will be like, what Ted's friend Len is experiencing right now, that throne room of God, this unbelievable imagery and things that are happening and that we just can't comprehend here on this earth. But yet it's a really neat thing to peer into, get a little glimpse into what's going on in heaven. And so we'll read this. There are many things that could be gleaned from this. This could be probably a whole month or maybe a couple of months worth of sermons, because there is so much here, so much to be learned. We'll look at one or two aspects of it because that's what we have time for. Let's pray before we begin the reading of this. Father, we come to you, and Lord, with such an awesome part of the Word of God, I pray that you will allow me to do it justice, because it is beyond what we can imagine, Lord. So I pray that your Spirit would just commune with our spirits and open our minds and give us that spirit of wisdom and revelation to understand what you're saying here, Lord, and make it real to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to read the whole thing just because it's really great, and we might not talk about all of it, but it's just deserves it. And so I'm going to read all 14 verses. And it picks up, we're going to start in chapter 5, and chapter 5 is an add-on to chapter 4. So you could go home and read chapter 4, and then you'll see the setup of this. So it's John talking, and he says, verse 1, "And I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?' And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals.' And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have been redeemed, and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.' Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and as such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. It's just an amazing part of the Bible, so full of images. They talk several times of the living creatures. It's worth it just to, if you haven't read this or haven't read it in a while, it's worth it just to see what goes on in heaven. Because there's a long description of these living creatures as they're talked about over and over, and they're around the throne and they're in the midst of the throne. Chapter 4 says that they're around the throne, in the midst of the throne, and they're there. And Ezekiel, the first couple of chapters describes them in very great length. And you hear Ezekiel, if you read those chapters, which we won't read today, I'm just giving you some highlights, maybe whetting your appetite for some things like this. The Bible tells us through Ezekiel that he can't describe them. He keeps using words like, they're like this, and this like that, and it appears it's like, and it's something like, you can just hear the man, if you read it, you can hear him struggling to find words which are appropriate, because it's just so incredible, so beyond what we're used to, and beyond what's normal to us. He keeps using these words over and over, it's like this, and it's like that, and they look like this, and they're like that, and over. And these are part of the beings that are around the throne of God. Chapter 4 is all about the throne room of God and what is happening around the throne of God. The throne is used, I don't know how many times, so many times, multiple times throughout that whole chapter. And so now we have this scene, and it's the throne room of God. And after the throne room of God is described, then he turns to something very different. He turns to the fact that there is a scroll in the hand of God who sits on the throne. So the one who's sitting on the throne is God himself, and in his right hand there is a scroll. And something very interesting happens, because they're looking for somebody who's able to open these scrolls. And the scroll is sealed with seven seals. And they look for somebody who's worthy to open the scroll. And they look through all of heaven. They look through all of earth. They look all under the earth, which we'll have to ask God what that means, under the earth. Once we see him one day, we can probably guess a few things. Who knows if we're right or wrong? Doesn't matter. But no one was found worthy. No one. And so John, who's sitting there watching this, or standing there watching this, he begins to weep. Because no one is worthy. And he realizes that no one is worthy. Now, the thing that's important about these is if you read on the next chapters, chapter 6, you will see why this is important. Because those scrolls and those seals, the scroll and the seals, they represent great power. They represent a destructive power, in fact. And as the seals are loosed, there is great destruction that is let loose on the earth. These are end time things. We know that the end times, we know little bits and pieces about the end times. There's going to be many very, very negative things that happen on the earth at those times. And these seals, the Bible tells us in some detail what each one of them means. And most of them mean something, some disaster is going to happen. And with that, they need somebody who's worthy to handle such power. The Bible tells us that they're looking for somebody who's worthy to handle such great responsibility.
The letting loose of these seals is so powerful and so great that it can't be trusted to just anyone. It needs to be handled by somebody who is worthy to handle it.
Like, bring that into terms which maybe we will understand.
We are, of course, in an election year, and much of what is talked about in our election year deals with the same kind of subject.
Because we know that the office of the president will afford that person who becomes president
great power, great responsibility, power that we probably can't fully fathom because there's so much available. Now, this is not a political speech.
There's no endorsement that you're going to hear from me either way.
The point is that we often hear the candidates talking about each other, that they're not really the person for the job. They might not have the temperament. They might not have the experience. They might be too novice. They might not understand all the details. And we hear those kinds of arguments given for or against the people running. Because there's great power, and with that you need a person that can handle the power.
Somebody, in essence, who's worthy of that power. Just like we see here in the throne room. Just like we see here with the scroll. Who is worthy to handle such power?
And oftentimes we say to ourselves, we hang our heads kind of like John. Maybe we don't weep over it, but maybe you want to weep over it. Who knows?
And you say, in our country of 300 million plus people, are these the best candidates that we have? Is this what we can, are these the best that we can produce out of 300 million?
And maybe that's not weeping, but it's something similar to what John does. He just hangs his head and says, I can't believe nobody's worthy. I can't believe that nobody is found worthy to open the scrolls.
To open the scroll and to loose its seal. And part of what is needed
to be able to open those seals is character. And this essentially is what I believe they're looking for.
And it's supported with the verses that follow.
Is there anybody of appropriate character to be able to do such an incredible thing for God? They're looking for
a person of great character, because great character is needed for the great responsibility that is given and in the opening of those seals. And God wants people of character. God wants people that can handle the responsibilities that He gives them. He wants people in the church that can handle. He wants people in the church that have character, that can handle the responsibilities that are given to the church. Because we do deal with eternal life. We do deal with eternity. It is not something that is if we make a mistake, a month. A person's life and eternity often hangs in the balance with the things that we do and we don't do. God wants people of character. And we hear that often. Oh, there's nuclear codes for the president. Do they have the character to be able to have that much power? Do they have the character to handle being able to send thousands of troops into war? Character is needed. You could get a look at your own character, because really this is about us, not about the president. This is about us. And we look at our own character, and we have to examine, are we
worthy, certainly not to open the scrolls, but are we worthy of responsibility that God wants to give us? Are we worthy of what God would be able to entrust? If God entrusted us with something, why are we worthy to handle it and to do the job that He asks us to do?
Think about
how you act and how you react to certain things. Think about the last time somebody cut you off in the middle of the road. Think about that. Think about the last time somebody did something unjust to you and how you reacted. Think about if your anger went from 0 to 100 in just a couple of seconds. Think about
how you
handle situations which are just unfair in your life. And then think about if you had power.
Think about that person that cut you off. Think about that person who cheated you out of something that you wanted.
What would you do if you had power in that moment? What would you do if you had the ability to do something to them? Sometimes you see something on the news and you make comments to yourself, and I've heard people make comments and oh, if I had power, I would put all this, and I would do this, and I would do that. And think of what Jesus has here. Because the Lamb that they're speaking of is Jesus. God is on the throne, Jesus is the Lamb. Jesus is the Lion. Of the tribe of Judah, and then he's referred to as the Lamb. That's another whole teaching. Do you remember there was a part in the Bible where James and John are called the sons of thunder? And they're frustrated that people are doing something, and they go up to Jesus and they tell Jesus, "Hey Jesus, how about we just call down fire on this group of oaks? How about we just zap them all?" And Jesus responds to them and says, "You guys don't know what power, you guys don't know what spirit you're talking about. You guys don't know what spirit you are."
And sometimes we might not be that bad. But sometimes what that is it's a lack of character.
They can't handle it. If they were given the power to rain down lightning on people, there would be communities that might be scorched. Because they don't have the power, or they don't have the character to handle the power that goes along with it. We see it in other places in the Bible. We see it in King Saul. He was given the kingship. And he used the kingship to further his own means. He used the power and the authority and the wealth of the kingdom to support his own ungodly desires. It's because he didn't have the character before he got all the power, before he got all the authority. And God wants people with character. And God wants people that can handle.
God wants people that can handle the job that He has for them. There is immense power
that God has in the gifts that He's given us. And the Bible tells us that each one has a gift. And you say, "Well, I don't know my gift." It doesn't mean that you don't have one, because the Bible tells us that each one has a gift from God. Each one.
And there's tremendous power in that's given to us. We might not be tapping into it. We might not be displaying it in our lives. It doesn't mean it's not there for you. Great power that God has given us. And He wants people of character to be able to use it for His honor and His glory. Not for their own honor, not for their own glory. And so in verse 9 and verse 10, It gives us a glimpse into why the Lamb, the Lion, Jesus is worthy. It says this: they sang a new song. This is the four living creatures, the 24 elders. They sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain. And you have redeemed us to God by your blood." They tell us why he's worthy. Because he was slain. Because he sacrificed for us. Because he died for us. Because it wasn't about him. It was about everybody else. It wasn't about what was good for him. It wasn't about what he liked. It wasn't about his preference. It wasn't about his song choice. It wasn't about his song style. It wasn't about his clothes. It wasn't about any of these things. It was about others. And he died for everybody. And he didn't care about his own life. Even to the point of death. And even to the point of a miserable death. Even he cared about the people that were against him. He cared about his enemies. He cared about the people that were unjustly accusing him, that were driving the nails into his hands, that were mocking him while he was on the cross. He cared about all of them. And because he demonstrated himself as so selfless, not selfish, selfless, he's worthy. He's worthy. And the same goes for us. When we display our selfishness, I want what I want. I'll do what I want to do. I'll do what's best for me. I'll take care of number one. And if I have left over, then I'll see how much I want to give to everybody else. But I'll make sure that I have enough reserve for me, for me, for me, for me. And God's looking at the character of us. God's looking at the character of each one of us to see, where do we fall in the scale? Is it all about me? Is it all about what I want? Is it all about what I'll do? Is it all about the minimum that I'll give? And God says, he's looking for somebody who's worthy. Worthy to be entrusted with the great things that he has for each one of us. And character is not the... And character is great. It's certainly a pillar, but you have to use that character and then act. You have to use that character and act. There are people of great character, but if they don't do anything, it doesn't help much. If they don't get involved, it doesn't help much. You could be people or a person of great character, but yet you need somebody also of character and action. Jesus was a man of great character, but if he just went into the desert and did nothing, no one would know about him. Like the monks of old, they would just we visited places in Italy and in some strange, far out, remote places that just cannot be reached by men through any easy means. Like on some, sometimes you travel down a cliff 150 feet, like a straight down cliff, and you find a church there. And sometimes you go up to this high peak of a mountain, which takes a car, you know, maybe 45 minutes to drive up or an hour to drive up, and it's dangerous, and in bad weather it'd be almost impossible. And then at the top you find a church. It's like, this is not a church who actually wants people to come to it, because there's no way to get to it. There's no neighborhood around. It's because, and they did that because people felt that they needed to get away from all the evils of society. So we're going to build a church which can't be reached by everybody, that will be away from everybody, that won't be touched by anything, by as little human contact as possible. They might be people of great character in that place, but they're doing nothing for the good of the rest of society. Jesus was a person of great character, but he also had great impact on those around him. We need to be people of great character, and then we need to put that character into action.
We need to put that character into different places in the circle of influence around our lives. If it's a job, if it's family, if it's friends, other things beyond that, we need to have character, and then we need to display it because it is so uncommon. People of character is very uncommon in our day. How do you handle things? How do you handle the little things that go on in your life? Are you prone to bend the truth a little bit in difficult situations? Are you prone to selfishness? Are you prone to talk a little bit about people? Where's the character? Where's your character? Where is it? Are you the kind of person that we see them out there, puts others down so that you can feel better about yourself? I hope not. Most of you are my friends. I don't see that in people, but we see it in others. We see it in many people. And God is looking for character. He's looking for people who are worthy. Not necessarily of something so large as taking and releasing seals, but He's looking for character in everything that He has done. We represent Him. We are reflections of Him. We're part of His family. And we're reflections of who He is. And so He's looking for character. There's a couple of verses in Hebrews. I will read them to you. Hebrews 5. It says this of Jesus. It says, though He was a son, Hebrews 5, it's verse 8. Though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. And having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. See, He went through difficulty, and He came out on the other side. He came out on the other side. The Bible says He was perfect. And sometimes that's what happens in our times of difficulty, in our times of suffering, in our times of greatest need. How do we handle it? It shows who we are. It shows our character. And even Jesus, it says that He learned obedience through suffering. And sometimes we wonder, why are we going through all of this? Because God is looking for people to learn from Him, to develop the character of Christ in us. And often that happens through suffering. If we're a person that holds on to grudges, for a person that holds on to the past hurts, and if you're old enough, everybody's had the opportunity to be hurt by somebody. If you hold on to those things, if you hold grudges, if you have that vengeful spirit in your heart, it could affect the way you decide. It could affect your decisions for the future. It could make you a person who uses that, and that becomes part of your foundation, and that foundation could come out in making decisions for the future. And God says, I'm looking for somebody worthy. I'm looking for somebody who can handle and do things with a pure heart. Not with a heart that's grown callous from the things of the past, but those who understand the hurt, not those who just ignore it, but those who have lived through it and have decided and made a commitment in themselves that I'm not going to let this affect the way I go throughout the rest of my life. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to be imprisoned by the past. I'm going to be a person who strives to be worthy, as difficult as it might be. All the past wrongs that are done to us, God is looking for a person of mercy, one who is merciful. It says, Jesus said, blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful. He's looking for somebody with mercy. He's looking for somebody that has the ability to forgive the deepest hurts. He's looking for somebody with a strong character. And that could be you. He's entrusted you. He's entrusted you with His plan, a plan for your life. And that plan goes back from before time began, according to the Bible. And it is our job to walk in it. God is proving who we are through situations. God is proving day by day, looking at you day by day. The Bible tells us in Job that what is man that you make so much of him, that you examine him every morning and test him every moment. He's looking at us all the time. Are you a person worthy? How about in that case? How about in that situation? How about when they cheated? How about when they cheated you? How about when that opportunity for it to be prejudice came up? How about when this came up? How about in this situation? Are you merciful? Are you loving? Are you kind? God is looking to prove who we are. We just want Him to get us out of our problems. We just want Him to end our problems. We just want the problems to end, the suffering to end. We just want it to end. And God is saying, I want you to be changed. I want you to be changed in the middle of it. I want you to come out on the other side a different person, more Christ-like. God is looking to prove who we are because He is looking for somebody worthy of His kingdom, of His kingdom's work. He has made us worthy. He has made us righteous by Jesus Christ. That is without a doubt. He has made us righteous. I'll say it again. He has made us righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. We need the character to be worthy of the things He wants us to do and has called us to do. God is looking to prove who you are. May you each be found worthy. May you each have the character that God wants of you so that we could be His lights, His examples in this dark world. His name be praised.